Welcome to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes,
a uniquely Pacific Northwest podcast.
I'm Shay.
And I'm Jody.
Each week, we take you on a journey through the quirky, mysterious, and fantastic stories of Pacific Northwest history.
So grab your North Face jacket, strap on your Tevas, pour yourself a cup of Northwest roasted coffee, and
let's fall down the rabbit hole.
We did it!
In one take.
First time.
I know. Jody, have you ever heard of the Cadborosaurus?
No, is that a dinosaur?
How about Octopus paxibolus?
Only the octopus part.
Okay, well, today we're going to talk about these marvelous creatures and the namesake of Seattle's own hockey team, the Seattle Kraken. So the Kraken is a legendary sea monster originating in Scandinavian folklore. It's usually depicted as a monstrous squid or an octopus-like creature capable of capsizing entire ships. Stories of the Kraken go back to about 1700 and entered fiction in 1866 with Victor Hugo, leading to Jules Verne's depiction of the Kraken. In ancient Greece, Aristotle and Pliny wrote about, it's T-E-U-T-H-O-S, Tilthos.
That's teethful.
Welcome to Shay mispronounces things.
We have various episodes. There's Shay ruins things.
The Shay mispronounces everything. I sound dumb in a lot of them. Anyways, it's the squid. Okay, I guess it's the Greek word for the squid.
Oh.
And there are legends and similar myths in many seafaring ancient cultures. So sightings of sea monsters in the Pacific Northwest go back for centuries. The Salish Sea, a majestic body of water nestled between the Pacific Northwest coastal regions, and go back and listen to the Salish Sea feet discoveries if you want to hear more about the Salish Sea.
Also, just go to the Salish Sea. Holy cow, majestic is exactly the right
word. It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely beautiful. And in fact, on another episode, you can hear me talk about more of the San Juan Islands in the area in the Pig Wars episode. So look for Pig Wars. Anywho, so this area has long been shrouded in mystery and folklore. Long before European settlers came to this area, indigenous peoples told tales and created artwork about a long serpent-like sea creature with a dragon-like head. These types of tales are not unique to the Pacific Northwest. I mean, sea monster stories have been told for as long as humans have sailed the seas. Usually the accounts of sea monsters turn out to just be a description of a real, but at the time unknown, sea creature, like a giant squid or an oarfish. Have you ever seen an oarfish?
No, what's an oarfish?
They are these massive eel-like fish, and they have this crazy spiky mane that runs down their whole body.
Yes.
And they can get up to 36 feet in length. So, I mean, it's no wonder that people would see
36
that.
36 feet.
Feet. 36 feet in length. So if you saw that swimming next to your boat,
that would be a sea monster.
That is a sea monster.
Definitely fits the...
Yeah. They usually are only about 10 feet, but a 10-foot long sea creature is still pretty bonkers to me. I don't like to go in the water, so anything in the sea to me is kind of scary.
Oh, me too. I love looking at water. I love being near water. I love hearing water. I love to be on water. Sometimes I like the smell of water, depends on where it's at. But I don't like to be in it. And especially
if you can't see the bottom.
Oh, and I don't even want my face in there looking anyway.
I do sometimes snorkel when we go somewhere like the Bahamas or Hawaii. But again, I have to be able to see the bottom. It has to be warm because I'm not going to go in there and be cold. And I have to really overcome several different fears. Mm-hmm. One of them is the sea creatures in there. And the other one is just the fear of drowning.
Yes.
And so when we snorkel, you know, Rich has gotten me to actually go all the way under where your snorkel tube comes under the water. And I have a really, really hard time with that. I have a hard time breathing through the snorkel too. I feel like I get feeling very panicky, and I have to really put myself in that mindset of like, you're fine, you can breathe, you're not going to die.
Yes, I have to do the same thing too. And I've only snorkeled once in Cancun. And I think the way I got through it is there was a couple, and the gentleman in that couple with us was freaking terrified.
Aw.
Terrified, but he was trying to do it anyway. And Keith and I were his cheerleader. And so it took my mind off being terrified.
Oh, yeah. When you're supporting somebody else, yes, you forget to be perfect. Afraid.
It was perfect.
I love that.
But as soon as he gave up, so did I. It's right behind him.
So other than a giant squid or an oar fish, it also might have been a whale's penis.
Oh.
No, seriously.
Yeah, well, have you seen them?
I know. Everyone stop what you're doing right now.
Google.
Do a Google image search of whale's penis, and we will wait.
And what's the name of this thing, this fish?
The oar fish.
The oar fish, yes.
But whale's penis is
now
pretty.
I have a very good view of what the... of what the oar fish looks like.
A whale's penis is like 8 feet long.
Yes.
It's insane.
It is terrifying looking. Do you know...
how big is a whale's vagina?
Do you know who showed me the first time I saw one? A picture?
Oh, no.
It was one of my kids, of course. Mom, look at this! Is this real life?
So in the Pacific Northwest, European settlers have been telling tales of a specific sea monster as far back as 1880. In a news item in the Vancouver Independent, which Vancouver, Washington, not British Columbia. Mm-hmm. Washingtonian Vancouverans get really tired of having to explain that.
Yeah. I'm like, north or south?
It was stated that a sea serpent had been spotted off of Cape Flattery. Mm. It was reported that the monster threw itself 90 feet out of the water and had massive wings, and along with rare ugliness, which is just rude.
Rare. It's not rare, rare beauty. No. It's rare ugliness. You are very unique in your ugliness.
Somebody describes me. Rare stupidity.
It's very unique.
Also had snorting that was described as epic.
While it was out for the 90 feet up?
I guess, yeah. The same year, some First Nations people in Victoria caught what they claimed to be a wonderful sea monster described as being 6 feet in length with a mane and a head shaped like a panther.
Like a panther?
Yes.
Like a cat?
I'm assuming it was probably just like a big eel or a barracuda or something like that, right? Like barracuda can get to be pretty, or sturgeon.
Yeah, sturgeons are huge. Oh, yeah, God. That's what I was picturing in my head is like along that
or
line.
A basking shark, because I think they have basking sharks here, don't they? There's how many species of sharks were there in the Puget Sound we saw there? It was like
hundreds.
40 different species of sharks in the Puget Sound?
Oh, 40.
Hundreds.
Felt like hundreds. Well, it was more than I knew existed, that's for sure.
Okay, look, more than one species of shark is too many, in my opinion. Sorry. I know most of them are harmless to humans, but it doesn't make me any less scared of them.
Yeah.
I have issues. Since the late 1800s, there have been reports of hundreds of sightings of sea monsters, mostly in the Salish Sea area. Often they were described as having a long body or neck and heads that ran the gamut from looking like a dog, a cow, a seal, a horse, a snake, a camel, a giraffe, a sheep, or a cat.
Or a cat.
Depending on.
I mean, they're all very similar. So, tale, I mean, right. That's a long list of very similar things.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess a seal has kind of a snake-like look, right? Because they don't have ears.
They could.
Yeah. And then.
I always thought we had a dog, Shawnee, that looked like a seal.
She did. If you just pull her ears back and do alien dog thing.
So they kind of look doggish.
Right. On February 12th in 1937, a man who was fishing in Snug Cove off of Bowen Island reported seeing a creature that was reddish brown, about 18 feet long, with a head like a polar bear. Okay. Mm. A reporter at the Vancouver Sun knew what it was. Cadborosaurus, also known as Caddy to the locals, or perhaps one of its smaller cousins. It had first been seen in 1932 and then again in 1933, and one of the sightings was reported by a prominent lawyer and clerk of the legislature, and his high reputation made his report more feasible. So these were not just like local yokels telling these tales. These were wealthy businessmen in the area. One of them was known as a prominent yachtsman.
Ooh.
Which means he's just a rich dude.
I mean, that's what I'm known as.
Right. Prominent yachtsman. So one of the men reporting the sighting claimed that it had a huge blue-green coils like a snake, was perhaps 80 feet in length and 5 feet thick with a dorsal fin. That's a big ass creature.
That is, and it confirms that I will never get in that water.
Especially the Salish Sea.
Right.
No, there's too many dead feet and sea monsters in the Salish Sea for me.
Yeah.
There's
too much darkness.
Yes, there is. You cannot see the bottom.
You cannot see the bottom. Even if the water is clear enough to see the bottom, it is so far down, you'll never see it.
I know. It's like 2,200 feet deep or something
like
that.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't see that far
down. The first time I got terrified, but I just don't get in.
I know. Well, that's why you're saying that you don't do the kayaking more seriously, because you have to learn how to go upside down in the water in your kayak. And you just, I can't. No, that puts the fear of drowning and sea stuff. My fear is that I would go upside down in the kayak, and when I rolled back over, my hair would be full of jellyfish.
Oh my God. That is literally the least of my concerns. But now it's on there.
That is one of my fears, because jellyfish would just be tangled in your hair. No.
Never been a fear before.
But it is now.
You need to wear a wetsuit where you put your whole head in.
Oh, the hood.
Yeah.
There, that's
absolutely.
Similar sightings were reported by American fishermen near Port Angeles, although they called it Bosco, and they said that they had seen it several times. They just didn't report it at first because they thought no one would believe them. One fisherman said that when he was reeling in a salmon, the monster grabbed the fish and pulled the fishing line, the boat, and the fisherman along with it, and he said he sailed into the air. Sure, dude.
Let go.
Let go of the bottle of booze first.
Yes. And maybe it was that, what is that? Is it called Absolute? Or no,
Absinthe.
Absinthe. Yes. He was drinking Absinthe.
Probably. Reports of sightings of Caddy were reported every year through the 30s, 40s, and 50s. But of course, no good photos were ever taken. Until 1963, a tourist got a photo of a sea monster near Vancouver Island. However, the next day, a Canadian press person discovered a rubber monster in a boathouse that had been made for a local fishing derby.
Come on, we're so close.
So what's behind all of these myths and legends of monstrous sea creatures? We will get into that after this break.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do you love weird history and ancient myths? I know you do. I know I do. That's why you're listening to this. Then you are going to love Effed Up History. And hey, Rainy Day Rabbit Holes is teaming up with Effed Up History. You can find our episode about the Satanic Panic in both of our feeds on April 11th. In the meantime, go check out all the episodes about stuff like the Salem Witch Trials, ancient myths, and more. It's history with swearing. And also, if you find yourself constantly swearing at the news these days, and you can't keep track of who's on trial for what, check out the Daily Beans podcast, hosted by my friend Allison Gill. She dissects what's happening in the news on a daily basis with just the right amount of snark. You can also see her live this summer. Just head to the dailybeanspod.com website and click on tour. And we will be there in Seattle on July 11th at the show. So maybe you can see us in the wild. All right. So, Jody, what's with all of these sea monster sightings? What do you think?
Well, I don't know yet. I would say in all my time out on the water, I've not particularly seen one of these sea creatures, but multiple times you kind of wonder what you did see. Especially it could be brief. Things pop up and then they go down and then they don't come back up. And you're like, hey, what was that?
Right.
But I've never gone to, oh, that's a sea creature.
Well, I usually see a log that I swear must be a crocodile.
Yes.
Because, you know, it could a crocodile could show up in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
Somebody had it as a pet. And then they released it into the wild. And it was before it died. Because you'd think it would have to die in this the cold water. Yeah, I don't know. But that's where my brain always goes. But it's always a log.
Yeah. Just like that. You've got debris out there that looks like a sea creature. It bobs up and down.
It could just be a wad of kelp with a bunch of crap in it. Yes. And then it just gets tangled and goes down. Yeah. So many of these sightings come from real sea monsters. Namely the giant squid. Now, these amazing creatures can reach lengths, total lengths, of about 43 feet long.
So that's the tip of one
tentacle to another? That's the tentacles to the top of the mantle.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So if you lay it out.
Okay. Okay.
And you measure from the tip of one of its tentacles or arms, because squid have 6 tentacles and 2 arms. So they have two tentacles that are modified to have like a flat spoon-like end. So, yeah, it's for, like, I don't know. It's stuff. Grabbing stuff. I think they're more grabby.
And are they able to, like, put stuff in their mouth with it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're also grabby.
Gotcha. That's how they grab you.
Yes, or your ship, apparently, and pull it down.
Oh, right.
Yes. Their head and mantle can reach a length of more than 7 feet. So imagine that. Imagine a basketball player. And that's just the head of a squid. That's pretty big. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying. Mm-hmm. So it's no wonder that ancient seafarers had myths about these guys, right?
Right.
And as far as sea serpents, of course, that oar fish is probably the most likely culprit. If you saw a 36-foot snake in the water, you'd be like, yeah, that's a sea monster.
So. I'd probably not go anywhere near that water again if I'd seen that.
No. I wonder how many of those sailors could not swim. Probably a lot. Anyway, that's a different discussion.
I almost feel like there's no point out there.
If you go down, you probably die anyway.
Yeah.
So in the Pacific Northwest, however, the giant Pacific octopus might be to blame for some of these sightings. So also known as the North Pacific giant octopus, these guys can be found from Baja California all the way up to Alaska in Russia, China, Japan, and Korea. They like colder waters, and they are the largest octopus species on Earth. They're normally an adult is normally around about 33 pounds, but there have been records of octopuses being as heavy as 165 pounds.
That's what I was thinking. If you've got a 7-foot mantle or head, then...
Well, that's a squid.
Oh, sorry.
We're into the octopuses now.
Okay.
Yes.
They're different.
Gotcha. Yes, they are different. They're both cephalopods, but different species.
Gotcha.
Their arm span normally is about 14 feet. So if you spread them out tip to tip on those tentacles, 14 feet, but they've been reported to be as big as 20 feet. So that's quite an arm span.
Yeah, it is.
You don't need one of those little grabber pinchy things. You just need an octopus.
Yes. A trained one.
Could you wear an octopus as a hat? But he'd get real you squishy could. Out of the water. I could?
You can wear any hat.
Here's the question, though. Where is an octopus's butthole?
Yeah, I'd imagine right there in the middle where you'd try to put that.
No, that's where his beak is.
Oh.
That's where his mouth is. So where's his butthole?
Is it not right next to it?
I don't know.
Wait, okay. So where's his eyes? Like,
everyone,
they're out on top.
They're on top, but his beak is underneath.
Yeah.
And that thing can crush clams. And in fact, they can drill. They have this little serrated thing. And they do this weird drilling thing to get through the shells.
They have their own oyster knife.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So everybody stop what you're doing and Google an octopus butthole.
Oh my God. I'm going to do it.
Do it. Do it. I want to see. We're going to pause. Well, Jody puts into her Google search octopus butthole.
Yes.
Oh. Okay, so right now I'm looking at a bunch of pictures of people's butts with octopuses tattooed on them. That's actually kind of cool, I gotta say. Anyway, did we find out where an octopus's butthole is?
Right next to each other.
Okay, so I guess the...
It's like In-N-Out Burger. Sea creature stuff.
So it appears that an octopus's butthole is right next to its mouth. We could be wrong.
Okay. I mean, go look at the photos. It's very hard to tell, but they may be the same hole from what I can tell.
Well, but the octopus has a beak, so that'd be the mouth hole. Yeah. So
that's the part that I don't see on the pictures. It's so weird. It's like a hole in the middle of all the
Yeah, and my search turned into tattoos on people's butts. So I apparently missed the point of the assignment.
Mine came up
octopus anus location.
Oh, there you go.
It's a siphon, a funnel-like hole on the side of its mantle. I think that poster
Why would you siphon?
Okay. It is located close to their brain. Interesting. Okay. So, like, their whole digestive system is in their head, obviously, because the rest of it is just arms. So, their brain also looks like an octopus, interestingly.
Right. It's like, it just flops over like a floppy octopus. Very interesting.
Whatever a buccal mass is.
That's your cheek.
Okay. And then the brain sits on top of something and then the beak is at the bottom of it. That's very weird. And then the siphon is on the side of its head, which is also their butthole.
Fascinating.
Okay. All right. So we have now destroyed our Google search with octopus butthole.
Yes.
Octopus anus location.
Great. Now what kind of ads am I going to get? You're at least going to get tattoo options. I'm going to get...
No, am I going to get the tattoo options of people doing weird tattoos on their buttholes?
Probably. options for the future.
So write into us at rainydayrabbitholes.com with suggestions for what we can tattoo on our buttholes.
I was thinking starfish.
I mean, that's the natural and most obvious one.
See, I go with what I've got.
But a winking eye.
Override what I've got.
Nothing but class on this podcast.
Yes. We are so classy.
So there, like I said, there's been carcasses reported to be as heavy as 165 pounds. And they do mostly eat just shrimp, clams. I wrote craps instead of crabs. So they eat craps. Probably they eat somebody's poop too. Ugh. Scallops, fish, squids, and other octopuses. Because nothing's as delicious as an octopus.
Yes, it's true. They calamari have, for all.
That's squid.
Oh. Well, it eats squid,
too. It's also delicious. Yes. Octopus is delicious, but I refuse to eat them anymore.
Right. I've heard. I can't wait to get to this point in the tale, but I've heard they're quite brilliant.
They're so brilliant, yes. Interestingly, so they have also been known to catch and eat sharks. So maybe what we need when we go snorkeling is an octopus buddy, and he'll protect us from the sharks.
Right. Don't be terrified. Make friends with.
Yeah, I'll make friends with an octopus. I have not yet seen my octopus teacher. I hear it's wonderful. He makes a friend with an octopus, and the octopus protects him from sea creatures. Maybe that's the point of the story.
I can't believe you didn't use it for this research.
I know. Now, according to legend, the largest octopus in the world lives below the Tacoma Narrows Bridge.
Yes, I've heard this.
Which spans a portion of the Puget Sound between Tacoma and Gig Harbor. And it's just literally that portion is called the Tacoma Narrows. Deep in the murky waters below the current Tacoma Narrows Bridge is the remains of an ill-fated bridge known as Galloping Gertie. This original Tacoma Narrows Bridge opened on July 1st, 1940, after almost 2 years of construction. Almost immediately from the time the bridge deck was built, the bridge would move vertically in windy conditions up to like 6 feet and down.
Definitely look this up and watch it if you haven't.
Unless
you're scared of bridges, don't do it.
Well, we'll link to the video of the bridge collapsing. It's incredible. And hence the nickname Galloping Gertie. Mm-hmm. It cost $6.4 million to construct in 1938, and at the time, it was the third longest suspension bridge in the world. As planners underestimated the traffic volumes on the bridge, it was built with only two lanes and was only 39 feet wide. It was very narrow in comparison to its long length of 2,800 feet, and this was its undoing. On November 7th, 1940, so just a couple of months after it was open, a 40-mile-per-hour wind caused the bridge to hump and buckle until it finally just collapsed into the Narrows. It's terrifying. There's a man who recounts being on the bridge when it did this, and his car and his poor dog in the car collapsed into the Narrows, but he managed to escape.
Nobody died, right?
Nobody died except for that poor dog.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy when you watch it, because there's cars on the bridge when this starts
happening. To just imagine that the dog swam to the shore in Gig Harbor, and a family found him, and he lived out the rest of his days with a new family. That's what's going to happen in my head.
I'm pretty sure that happened.
Yes, thank you. It makes me feel better. I don't like hearing about poor doggy dying.
Yeah.
So the remains at the bottom of the Narrows created an artificial reef, and divers in this area have seen huge octopuses around here. Tacomans tell the story, though, of a 600-pound octopus, coined King Octopus by the Tacoma News Tribune, that sometimes attacks divers.
Oh.
So this is a legendary monster in the Tacoma Narrows. Now
how do they guess 600 pounds?
Well,
I'm guessing you can go, oh, that's 20 feet or whatever. Because how do you estimate 600 pounds?
When you're diving in dark, murky water and you see a big thing, water has a distorting effect and it can make things look bigger. Unless it's cold.
Yeah, right.
And then they're shrinking.
Yeah. If you want to see the real size, make sure it's warm water.
That's exactly. So actually, octopuses on land, they do get shrinkage.
Yes.
They get, because they're kind of squishy, and they get like, look like a little bit melty and wrinkly and kind of.
Right. And gravity just goes.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty unlikely, though, that there are 600-pound octopuses under the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, as giant Pacific octopuses only can live for 3 to 5 years, which is actually long for an octopus. Most of the time, they live to be about a year.
Oh, that's sad.
And it's very interesting. So I encourage everyone to go to, I've mentioned him before, Zafrank, and his True Facts. The True Facts About Octopuses is the best video of all of them. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And he talks a lot about octopuses and all of their amazing features and facts. And one of them is, after a female octopus is given a packet of sperm by the male, he just like delivers a package.
And mail time. Yeah,
and she just inserts it into her mantle and it fertilizes her eggs.
Wow, sounds like fun.
And then she lays her eggs in like a protected area, like a crevice, and then she stays next to them until they hatch, and she gently blows water over them, but she never leaves to feed, so she just starves to death.
Wow.
And then all the little octopuses emerge. And one thing that can happen is octopuses can detach an arm and then they can grow it back. The male sometimes will fill an arm with his little sperm packets and pull it off and hand it to the lady.
It's like, I got a lot. You're going to have to take the whole arm. I got a lot.
So Zafrank, his joke, which I love, is like, it's like playing Russian roulette, except your hand might get pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
They are amazing creatures. They can remember a person's face and the taste of their skin. Through their
taste of their skin.
Well, yeah, because think about this.
I guess they can't smell it.
They have 8 arms. So over 3/5 of their neurons are in their arms. So it's like they have 9 brains. Oh, wow. And so all of those little suckers are full of sensory input. So when they touch something, they can tell everything about it from touch. And so they can't, that's how they can remember the taste of your skin, because they get all the chemical inputs from your skin into these. Oh, it's incredible. They're so amazing.
So wait, divers typically wear wetsuits and things. How are they? Never mind.
Well, I mean, depending on what part of the world you're in.
Yeah, I suppose.
If you're diving in the Pacific Northwest, you're wearing at least a wetsuit, if not a dry suit. Otherwise, you will die. Mm-hmm. Even my lovely and slightly crazy friend Shay wears a wetsuit when she gets into the water in the winter. Because she's, I love you, but you're
crazy.
Bonkers. Yeah. Love you, though. So they can also solve puzzles and make decisions. And this is really interesting. So, you know, octopuses can change colors. They use it for camouflage and for warnings and other sorts of things. When they concentrate on a problem, they sometimes change colors. It's like you wrinkling up your eyebrows or sticking your tongue out of your mouth or something.
Oh,
they'll change colors when they concentrate.
That's their facial inspiration.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And there are tales of fish and starfish disappearing from tanks in aquariums mm-hmm. at night with no clues as to what was happening. But later when they put cameras in, they would discover that these octopuses were escaping from their tanks and going out. This happened here at the Pacific Northwest Aquarium in Seattle. They were escaping from their tanks and they were going to the touch tanks. You know that you can go in so the kids can touch the starfish and stuff? And it was just like an all-night buffet.
Oh, no. They were eating.
Yes. And then they would crawl back into their tanks before people got there in the morning. They were smart enough to know to go back to their tanks.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So
naughty. I wonder what they thought when they saw that video. Like, oh, my.
Well, the thing is an octopus can fit through any opening that their mm-hmm. beak can fit mm-hmm. through. It's like a mouse. Like a mouse can fit through any opening their head can fit through. And their beaks aren't that big. So there's videos of what basically like a toilet paper tube with an octopus sliding through it. But
that's crazy.
Plexiglass. And researchers say that they have their own distinct personalities and temperaments. And here's another fun fact I didn't know about. They have three hearts.
Oh.
Blue blood. Tongues covered in teeth. And each sucker can lift 30 pounds.
Each sucker.
Each sucker.
Holy cow.
Incredible. They're so cool. Don't eat octopuses anymore. Takoyaki is delicious. And yes, I did eat it in Japan. And I felt bad. And I said thank you to the octopus that gave its life so I could have delicious takoyaki. But I do try to avoid it.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, also think about this. Maybe this will turn you off of eating octopus. Normally you're eating the tentacles when you're eating octopus. And that's part of its brain. So you're eating the octopus's brain when you eat tentacles.
Oh my.
And now I want a pet.
A pet octopus.
I want it to be my buddy. I'm going to name it Frank.
Oh, Frank.
Okay. So speaking of octopuses, I want to touch briefly on another incredible creature here in the Pacific Northwest that I bet you haven't heard of.
All right. Give it to me.
So this octopus can be found in the temperate rainforests of the Olympic Peninsula near Hood Canal. So octopus Paraxarbolus, God, I can't pronounce anything, is smaller. It only gets to be about 12 inches in diameter.
Okay.
But unlike most other cephalopods, these octopuses spend much of their life moving through the wet branches of the rainforest, kind of like the coconut crab, you know, the land crab that lives most of its time in the trees. And they'll rest in pooled water on the forest floor, and they'll return to the sea to mate. So, also known as the tree octopus, every spring they migrate to the Hood Canal to breed, and after the male deposits his sperm with the female, he returns to the trees, leaving the female behind to care for the eggs, protecting them from all of the gullible humans who fell for that hoax.
I was like, oh my
God.
I was just over there. I had a tutorial. I heard none of this. It was a terrible tutorial.
That was a 1998 internet hoax people believed and still sometimes spread as true.
I'm gonna have to unfortunately give this one to Keith because that happened to him before he spread them. He read an article in a science magazine we had a subscription to. Yes, we're nerdy in our 20s even. And it talked about these moles that had hot brain, like their foreheads were hot, and so they could go through ice. And he went telling people this story forever, and they're like, that's not real. He's like, yes, it is. No, it was an April 1st joke from the magazine that he didn't know about for months.
All right, so you need to tell him about the tree octopus. Yes, you'd be like, oh my God, what do we learn? You need to tell the grandkids about it too.
Ooh,
oh my God. There's a website you can go to
that has
pictures of a little octopus. Like, it's a bad Photoshop, but a kid won't know. Like, and a little octopus sitting in like evergreen trees.
Oh, awesome. I'm going to. Yes, thank you for this tidbit.
So, you know, when I first came across it, because I was just Googling like octopuses and sea monsters of the Pacific Northwest, this website came up and I saw it and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And then I Googled again and it was like, okay, this is a hoax. But I fell for it immediately. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yes, I was all in and couldn't wait for that to be the next thing. I mean, yesterday we were looking for Bigfoot. Tomorrow we could be looking
for... I know, we could go on a hike and look for tree octopus.
Okay. Dang it, you ruined it.
I know. So given the terror that legends of the Kraken and other sea monsters like Catty brought to sailors, it's no wonder that Seattle's hockey team chose the name Kraken. I mean, first off, then you get to say, release the Kraken at the beginning of every game, which is amazing. Kraken are monsters that struck fear into the hearts of men. And so I guess that's like the vibe they're going for there, is to strike fear into the hearts of their opponents.
Oh, got it.
But they're not going to strike fear into the hearts of the Colorado Avalanche because they're a much better team. Come fight me.
Really?
It's a sport Shay likes. I like hockey.
Got it.
Go sports.
How funny.
Team.
I know nothing about it. I have a Kraken sweatshirt that I do love.
Do you? But you never watch hockey?
Never watched hockey ever.
I think that it goes Colorado Avalanche, the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Las Vegas has a hockey team. Did you know that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
And then the Kraken. In naming their hockey team the Kraken, the city of Seattle is also embracing a symbol of maritime prowess, mm-hmm. as well as a spirit of curiosity and wonder that defines the Pacific Northwest. So I'm going to end with this. As the Seattle Kraken take to the ice, they carry with them the legacy of these mythical beings, reminding us of the deep connections between humanity and the natural world. In celebrating these creatures of the Salish Sea, we honor not only our past, but also our future, embracing the magic and mystery that lie just beyond the shoreline. So as the puck drops and the crowd roars, let us raise a toast to the Kraken, the octopus, and the enduring spirit of the Pacific Northwest. Clap,
cheers,
clap, 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 clap,
cheers,
clap, 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 clap. By the way, ChatGPT wrote that ending
for me. I was going to say, whoa, where'd you get that?
She's like, that does not sound like Shay.
It was my next question.
It was pretty good, though. Nice job, ChatGPT. Clap, yes, clap, 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 clap.
It does often give us really good stuff and then also very interesting and entertaining stuff.
So that's it for our little bit here on the Pacific Northwest sea monsters and the tie-in to our favorite creature of the sea, the giant Pacific octopus.
Yes, thank you, Shay. That was great.
Thank you. That's the only creature that if I was in the water for some reason, if I saw an octopus, I would not be scared of it. I would be happy to see the octopus.
I don't know. I think I'd still be scared.
I
think about it all the time with orcas because I often think that I just want to hug one.
Oh, no. Those are they are monsters. They eat seals.
And they don't eat humans, though.
They look so cute when they're eating seals.
I know. And they toss them in the air like balls.
Smile. Covered in blood.
It's like cats throwing a ball in the air. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. When my cat that we used to have, the outside cat, would throw the moles in the air and then jump on them. And you're like, oh, you're having so much fun.
So cute.
So I listened to a podcast about the giant Pacific octopus, and he said that there have been incidents of not humans getting killed by octopus, but what will happen is a diver might get too close to the octopus and it will grab the diver and then grab onto something on the sea floor. And they are so strong that the diver has a hard time getting away. So like you could possibly get drowned by an octopus if you piss it off.
Right, right. That's
the moral of the story is don't go looking for the octopus's butthole.
Or could it drag you even farther under where you're the depths where you haven't equalized yet?
Yeah. Just because they're strong enough to grab a hold of something and grab you and keep you from getting away if you need to get up. So anyway, I love
fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. I love that, including the trickery in the trees. But I am going to spread that. My grandkids are totally going to learn about
it. I can't wait to hear
about
it. I mean,
if we're looking for Bigfoot, there's no reason we shouldn't be looking for that.
Yes. Well, you know what you need to do is use AI to make some very cool photographs of a tree octopus and show it to them and be like, look, here's pictures of it. It's real.
Yes.
So speaking of AI, guys, we are going to be starting our Patreon very soon. And one thing that we're going to be doing is releasing bonus episodes for our patrons. And one of the episodes that we're going to do every month is we are going to do a best of the worst of AI generated content. So what we're going to need from you, you're going to have the opportunity, if you're a patron, to give us an idea for a prompt to have AI write us a podcast script. It can be whatever you want. And then we have to read it word for word. So make it as terrible as you can. And here's the trick is tell AI, tell ChatGPT to make it funny and have lots of jokes.
And two people. So there's back and forth.
Yeah. And we are going to do episodes that are just nothing but AI generated podcast scripts. So you can see how bad they are.
They are. It's hilarious.
It's so good. It's bad.
We've peaked already. So please give us your topic for your own AI generated fun.
Yes, please. And what we'll do is we'll make that available to our top tier patrons. So keep tuned. And when we have it ready and all of our tiers and all of our great content and prizes, we will let you know. And you can we'll be able to find all of that at rainydayrabbitholes.com, along with links to listen, blog posts about our episodes, links to our social media. Everything you need is there. When you tell a friend or a family member about our podcast, the best place to send them is our website because they can find links to everywhere there. All right, guys. Well, we will see you next time with another half-assed. No.
This is
another wonderful, full-assed,
half.
We're showing our whole ass,
half correct.
Episode of Rainy Day Rabbit Holes. Thanks so much for your support and
see you down the rabbit hole.
Let's back up because I sound real dumb.
Never.
Keep it?